Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him.
Okay, it is the holiday edition. Bob Ryan, Gary Tangwa, Zoom and Pod, thanks for joining us. We hope you had a great holiday. We wish you the best in the coming new year. We are brought to you by our good friends at FanDuel. That's right, FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, Bob, I want to go back to the Celtics-Lakers game. Okay, it's Christmas Day, and I know how you feel about games on Christmas. You're not a fan, correct? That has not changed.
That's correct.
Okay, so we know that. But they had five games, and I'm sure the ratings were great. And they were all good games. The Knicks game was a good game to watch. But the Celtics-Lakers game, to me, while the Lakers are not what they once were, and LeBron and Anthony Davis, they don't have a supporting cast, I still thought it was a statement made by the Celtics to go into their house and win that game.
Well, I think coming out of the way the trip started with a disappointing, not humiliating, but a disappointing loss at Golden State, right, in overtime, a game that was within their grasp and that they should have held on to and won. Okay, we know that. Then they go and they blow out two successive blowouts over a team that I think can be good, and that's Sacramento, and a team that was playing very well at the time, which was Clippers. And ranging up 144 and 145 against those two. Yeah, it was a ballyhooed game. Everybody knows what's at stake. And LeBron was coming off a great game. They rose to the occasion. And with one of the great box scores in their history, five guys, 18 or more. That's very rare. Just as an aside, I've covered, I don't know how many others have been doing this 54 years since I first covered an NBA game, but I've covered two and only two games in all those years in which all five starters of a team had 20 points. And the Celtics did it against the Bullets in the early 70s. I'm trying to look that game up just for the hell of it now. And the Suns did it against the Lakers in the 84 Western Conference Finals. And that's very rare. They came close to having that incredible achievement. But anyway, it was a wonderful game. And you said statement. I can't dispute that. I think it. Well, let's see how they build off that. And as we speak, by the way, they haven't thrown the ball up yet in the confrontation with the record-breaking Pistons.
Right.
And this game scares the bleep out of me. Just because. Two reasons. One, Pistons got to win sometime. They got to win sometime. Kate Cunningham's going for a 41-point game. They got to win sometime. And B, history is not kind to teams, the Celtic teams in my experience, coming off the first game of a major road trip. They've had some bad.
Right.
And so they – now, the counterbalance to that is – that what has happened as the Pistons are experiencing any team, they find every team is bringing their A game against them because nobody wants to lose to them.
And if people aren't aware, it's like 27 in a row now.
27.
27 at the time of our taping, 27 in a row.
And the 28 is the overlap record of the Sixers, in which they ended a season and then started the next season with the streak intact. And that's the record of 28 and 27. And they're going for – so they if all wells runs out, they'll have the record to themselves by Sunday morning. But anyway, this game, I don't want to play them right now. I don't want to play them. Celtics, if history is true, they will bring their A game because they don't want. I'll give you a quick anecdote. The 76ers in 1972-73 won 9 games. The Boston Celtics in 1972-73 won 68 games. And late in the season, they came into Boston for a Sunday afternoon game. And at the end of the third quarter, the Sixers were winning. And that's the days of the 4 jump balls. We didn't have gone to the halftime that I had to do. And the looks on Celtic faces, the start of the fourth quarter, well, they kicked it into gear and they won going away. And I remember talking to Paul Silas after that game. And he said all he could think about as they're ready to throw that ball up in the fourth quarter was the morning paper headlines, 76ers beat Celtics. And he did not want to see that.
No.
They came through. I'll never always remember that. But this is what happened. Teams, nobody wants to lose to them. I mean, so they're getting A games from everybody.
Right, and it's kind of crazy, but you're right, because you don't want to be the guy. You don't want to be the guy.
They're going to win sometime. Yeah. They're not going 2-80.
Now, you mentioned the overtime situation with the Celtics. Celtics are 0-3 in overtime, so they could have only 3 losses.
Yeah, give them 2. Well, you can give them 2 out of 3. It'd be nice. They could. No,
it's crazy though, because Bob, like, well, it's part of our job to critique the Celts and look for holes in their arsenal. They're 23-6. They're number 1 in the NBA, and right now, I mean, it's if they stay healthy, they're just they're amazing.
At the moment, we can only nitpick.
Big time.
That's all we can do legitimately now is nitpick, because, you know, there's a history. You know, every team's got its dynamics and its history. And the history of this team is, the recent history of this group is that they have knocked on the door, but they haven't opened it yet. And the thing about that I want to stress with this is that this is a now team. This is a now. Now, we've alluded to this earlier in the season, but just so people understand, this team is constructed to win NOW. They've got their 2 best players are in the absolute prime of their athletic lives in mid 20s, from 25 to 30. Basically, is the prime of almost anybody in any sport. And that's where they are, Tatum and Brown. Porzingis is 28. The guards are older, but not too old. And they got 2 youngish guys. But even their young guys aren't young anymore. And they don't have any rookies playing at any. They don't have any. The youngest guy who plays regularly that matters is Pritchard, 24. And look at some of the teams around the league that it's like the Pistons themselves who are young, the Thunder who are still young. This is it. This construction is complete in a sense. Now we all agree it'd be nice to get one more piece of the puzzle, the PJ Brown of 2024. If he's walking down the street, I hope they can find him, you know.
And Paul Pierce out after.
Yeah, him. In the cab, you know.
PJ, hey, let's make a deal.
So
I want to.
There's not the construction is there. It's done. They got to just perform.
Bob, I want to throw some modern day statistics at you, from Adam Himmelsbach, who has continued the fine tradition of the Celtics following the Celtics beat for the Boston Globe. Derek White, who I know you are a big fan of, and we're going to talk about him at length here. The Celtics are 11.6 points better per 100 possessions when White is in the lineup. That's 8 points better than Drew Holiday. 11.6 better per 100. Now, this is an amazing number when you look at the roster. Amazing.
That blows me away. Generally, I'm just happy with the eye test, you know, and what I've seen this guy do at both ends of the floor. How about this block thing he's got going on? Blocking shots, you know, at two a game for multiple games is extraordinary for a guard. Which reminds me, by the way, I'm sorry, but one of my favorite stats that ever came out of the finals. In 1979, Dennis Johnson, starting for the Seattle Supersonics, blocked 14 shots in six games of the finals out of the guard position. Anyway, this is another guard doing that. What doesn't this guy do for you?
I know.
He's like a handy butler. I mean, whatever you need, whatever you want. My God, he's and we're going to get to whether or not he can and should be in the All-Star game.
Here's the thing with the All-Star game, Bob. Right now, is if you take a look, 50% voting by the fans, 25% by the players, right, and 25% by the media. Now he's going to get the player and media vote, I think. You know, and will he get the fan vote? Now, I do think there is starting to be a groundswell of people are getting behind this guy. So, because people in Boston obviously know, other players are going to vote for him. We know that. Other players are going to vote for him. Some media members are going to vote for him. But I think just now, some of the fans are starting to see it.
There's a big problem that I don't think is going to be overcome.
What's that?
Competition.
Well, there's
the East is loaded. Are you ready? I got.
Yeah, go ahead. Lay it on me.
I come armed. I come bearing stats. Okay. Tell me how you deny Tyrese Halliburton. He's in.
He's in.
He is averaging 24.8, shooting 43.42, and also, oh, by the way, 12 assists a game.
Oh, yeah, he could, I mean, right. He could start.
How do you deny Tyrese Maxey? You're not. 26 points a game, 45% shooting, 41% threes.
Okay, let's go guy by guy. Okay.
I'm going.
Let's go guy by guy. I'm going to make a case for White over Maxey. Blocking shots. The way he doesn't have the numbers. He doesn't have 26 points per game. Block it. You just mentioned all of it. Halliburton, not a shot. Maxey, I can make a case, I think. Go ahead.
Okay. Jalen Brunson has to be in the game.
He's in.
Has to be in. He's averaging 26. He's shooting 45% threes and 5.9 assists. All right. Lillard's going to be in the game. Period.
Yeah, he gets
it. Lillard's going to be in the game. He's averaging 25.7, shooting 43.5, 3.75 on threes, and almost 7 assists a game. He's going to be in the game. Those three are positively, absolutely going to be on the team. Halliburton, Brunson, and Lillard.
I can make a case for Maxey. Your Honor, Mr. Ryan. I just mentioned it. 11.6 points. 100 possessions. You just talked about how White makes the Celtics better.
Oh, does.
I think he does more for the Celtics than Maxey does for the Sixers. That's the only argument I got.
And there's one other guy that's going to be very tough to deny, and that is Trae Young.
Oh, I'd still give it to White, but I'm biased. I will admit, I'm biased.
You're not going to win that one. Look, listen to this. 28 points a game, 11.3 assists a game, 38.5 3 points. He's in the game. He's a star.
I know. I'm being a homer.
I know.
I'm being a homer.
That there's four musts. How's he going to get in?
Yeah, I know. I'd still put him in over Maxey.
We would love to have him in over somebody, but it's not going to happen. And then there are a couple other, you know, guys who make a case. There'll be a strong case made by Cleveland for Donovan Mitchell. He's averaging 27 a game, in case when you weren't looking. And even Garland, but he's averaging 20. It won't be Garland. Okay, and the other, that's Cam Thomas. They'll make a pitch. He's averaging 23 a game for the Nets. Okay, but no, neither of us would even think about that. But I'm just saying, it ain't going to happen. I
I
feel bad
know.
because it should happen. You're right. His contribution at both ends of the floor, the glue he represents for the Celtics. Who knew when they got to keep going back for the 10 millionth time? How do we get him? How do
oh,
we
I
get
know.
Him?
I know.
God almighty. With,
no. Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action, NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads, you got your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. I got another stat for you. This is a good one. Again, from Mr. Himmelsbach. Tatum had 4 of the 6 Celtics screen assists.
Oh, yeah.
In the Laker game. I love that stat. That's a great stat, Bob.
But they've come up with that in pass assists too, you know, and not, you know, and you know, you could call it assist. You know, he's setting screens. Great. I know it's great. I'm
but here's the point: how many guys like Tatum, the number one scorer, is setting screens? Oh. That doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. No. Michael Jordan didn't set screens. LeBron didn't set screens. Larry didn't set screens. You know, they screened for Larry. And no, this is part of Tatum maturation that we've identified is having a fine year, and that's very impressive. Yeah, whoever you want to label it, screen assists, I love it. They're getting very creative in the analytics department of the Celtics, aren't they? They're earning their money between pass assists. Now that's an interesting one. I want to talk about that for a minute because we had some discussion about that in my friend circle of friends about the pass assist. Dan Shaughnessy had some fun mocking, you know, the thing. But the thing is that I have said for years that there ought to be accreditation for a pass that leads to a guy who gets fouled at shooting the layup and then, you know, makes the 2 free throws. And you get no credit for that. No statistical credit,
right?
You know, none at all. And then of course you do get credit for making a routine pass over to your buddy to shoot a 3 or a little bit of inside out, you know, and you know, you got about as much to do with that as you two of us do sitting here, you know, big deal. And yet you get credit for that, but you don't get credit for the guy that makes the 2 free throws after you gave him a beautiful pass. And so, you know, the statistics, that's why you got to be very wary of statistics and why analytics have filled in a lot of gaps. They get you can get carried away with them naturally. You know, we know that. And baseball being Exhibit A, but you can get carried away with this stuff. But they've helped, you know. But I'm telling you, in the old days, Garrett, in the Bob Cousy, I always say an assist is something that Tricky Dick McGuire would acknowledge. And you only got an assist in 1951 or 56 if the guy made a layup, period. So when you look at the numbers of the Cousies and the Tricky Dick McGuires and the Slater Martins on the Bobby Davieses of the 50s, and if they're averaging 7 assists a game, they're all layups. And the current assist leaders are getting credit for 3-pointers and almost 3s and 17-footers and that were denied those old guys. So that's why you got to be careful with the stats.
Well, I mean, who had better court vision than Bob Cousy? Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird.
No, Kuz, he's the kosher godfather of all. He's the godfather of all point guards. He's the godfather. He is the ultimate godfather.
And point forwards.
Yeah, well, you know that phrase, the greatest point forward was Larry.
Yeah,
And you know, frankly, and they tried to call Paul Pressey. You know, the Bucks were making a case for Pressey. Larry destroyed Pressey.
Oh, no, it's not even close.
He just posted him up and said, "Oh, you really come over here? You know, I'll take a turnaround jumper and or I'll go to the foul line. Thank you very much." No, that was ridiculous. The closest thing to Larry, or the most Larry-like player, I'll put it that way. You know, that is, it's worth discussing that there's a link, is Doncic.
What about
That's the
Dirk?
guy
What
that
about
most.
Dirk?
No, Dirk was more. Doncic's a passer too. Dirk expanded the range for all 7 footers, no question. Dirk's a pivotal player, but he and Larry different. He's different. He and Larry be great together. Oh my God, you know. But Doncic and Larry, Doncic would have. He's got the ball all the time, which Larry never did. But still, the way he moves and some of the stuff he does reminds me of as much as anyone ever has of things about Larry. You know, he's Larry-like in certain ways. But the big difference is, of course, he has the ball, and Larry remains the guy. And this will be the truth for eternity. No one will ever come along to get more done with the ball in his hands less than Larry Bird. I don't
Oh
see how
yeah,
to.
moving without the ball, he was ex the best.
And, well, not only that, but anticipation,
Yeah.
knowing what to do with it, with the touch pass immediately, with the, you know, and assist totals he racked up with the infrequent times he had the ball compared to what all other assist guys, starting with LeBron, who, you know, is no longer a forward. He's just a positionless queen on the chessboard without question. But when he was before he had the ball all the time, he was a forward, and you know, those were the two best forwards of all time. Right now, I'd still put him as the two starting forwards, except LeBron has morphed into something, you know, different.
Yeah, exactly. Positionless
He's
is
got it
a,
all the time. Got the ball.
yeah. No, there's a, before we leave this, what is your favorite Celtic Laker rivalry or
No.
year or matchup?
Oh, that's very, very, very interesting. The 84 finals provided us with so much fodder because it was anticipated. It was 5 years in before Larry and Magic finally had
Right.
a direct confrontation. And a lot had happened for both of them at that point. Larry, you know, Larry won. Magic beat him to it. Magic one-upped him in 1980. Larry was Rookie of the Year, but Magic got the ring. And he got the ring because he played what remains 43 years later as a handful of greatest individual games ever played in the history of this league.
No question.
It's one of the top worst top five games any individual has ever played in the 70, what is this, 8 year history now of the NBA.
As a rookie.
As a 20-year-old, that performance in Philadelphia, 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, playing all five positions, and absolutely dominating the game with Kareem sitting home watching with his injury that he sustained, and everybody, one of us, knowing going into that game, we're going back to LA for game seven. I am not lying when you say, Gary, I've told you this before, it's the gospel truth. The big chatter among we media people was where we're going to go to dinner in LA on Saturday night.
Oh, so important.
Because it's Friday night in Philly, and the Sixers are going to lose, and we're going back to, I mean, the Lakers are going to lose, and
Right.
we're going back to LA for game seven. Well, okay. Anyway, so that's that. Larry gets his championship in 81, including a game on February 11th, 1981. The Celtics roll into LA, having played a really tough game the night before in Seattle, and having lost Tiny Archibald, who got hurt. And they arrive at 3 in the afternoon for a 7:30 game with travel problems. You always have trouble. They often have troubles in the West the whole winter with fog from Seattle to San Diego. The big thing is you may get fogged in, and we had a trouble getting out of San Diego, Seattle. So it's like a hopeless game, you figure, right? Larry goes over to Magic. Magic was hurt. He didn't play. Larry goes over to him for the game and says, "Sit back, Irvin, and enjoy the show."
Now, this is before they did the Converse commercial, right?
Yes. Sit back, Irvin, and enjoy the show. Larry goes for 36 and 21, and not and about 5 or 6 assists, and the icing on the old cake, he stopped a couple of 3-on-1s all by himself. People, you know, he broke up a couple of 3-on-1s. They win the game. And it's one of his five favorite Larry games ever, naturally, you know. All right. But anyway, now we're up to 84, and the Lakers win in 82, and now they're up 2-1. They lose in 83 to the Sixers, the great one-year Sixer team.
Right.
Moses Malone, it's the greatest year. And now we're in 84. So all the build-up in a ballyhoo and the way that series unfolded, the Lakers carry them, bury them in Boston game one, and the Celtics and only pull out game two with Gerald Henderson makes the great steal that saved the game. And they're going to go, they're going to get out 2-0 going home.
Right.
They get destroyed in game three at home, I mean, out there. And Larry, that's when Larry came up with the, we need 12 heart transplants. And we played like sissies, quote unquote. And game four is one of the great playoff games I ever saw, double overtime. Larry comes up big with 29 and 21. Robert has a big game, and the Magic dribbles the ball wrong out the clock. Magic screwed up and earning his nickname of Tragic Johnson from Max. And of course, that was the McHale takedown game.
Yes.
Rambis. Which today, of course, he would have been incarcerated. No, all it was a common foul. It was a common foul. So, and game five is the Heat game.
Right.
Game five is the Heat game. 97 degrees Fahrenheit inside the building. Lakers want to go home. Kareem, they got portable oxygen. ML's walking up and down waving the little mini electric flag of a fan, you know. And Larry, in the heat of the 97 degree game, Larry goes for 36 and 17 and shoots 15 for 20.
Well, you were there, Bob. How hot? I mean, just give us how.
It was the strangest night of all the nights in all the sports, which includes boxing, which includes, you know, that I've ever been to in that building, that old building, starting in my first visit in October 17th, 1964. It was the strangest night ever because it was so hot in there, and never have so many people worn so little clothing in the garden. Guys are in shorts, women are in halter tops, it was t-shirts. And the crowd made it a positive. It was a great crowd. They were the Celtics, really were their sixth man that night. And they just spooked the Lakers that night, just completely. And Larry, but how symbolic. Larry Bird goes 97 degrees. Larry goes for 36 and 17 and 15 for 20 from the floor. So this is, and then the back dot, and then game six, the Lakers kick their ass again, come home, and game seven, Celtics win. And you know who turned the game around? Danny Ainge. Now, Max started them all. Great. Max, you know, that's the game, jump on my back boys game.
Right.
He's had the 24 points against Worthy. He dumped the, but who came off the bench and sparked a second quarter, you know, run off of which they lived for the rest of the game? Danny. People forget that because it's rightfully, it should be remembered as a Max game. Yes, it's true. But,
right.
But Danny was the major supporter. He got best supporting actor that night. I'll tell you that. And you know, Larry's MVP in the series, anyway, 84, there was so much drama and the Lakers complaining. They said that, you know, the hotel, there were fire alarms, they said,
bullshit,
you know, and Riley was theater, and it was just great stuff.
Well, the fire alarms, there's no doubt the fans were setting up fire alarms. I mean, that's a reasonable. I don't think, here's the thing. Red was so good with that stuff. He didn't have to do anything.
No.
He didn't have to do anything. He just let people talk about it.
Red loved the idea. This is like Gaylord Perry in the Spitball.
Right.
He wanted people to think he was doing it, to drive him crazy. You know, and Red didn't mind having the other teams, anything that would throw them off that wasn't illegal, you know, or the criminal, you know. Red was... And you know he would be okay with it, you know. The rivalry was, and then of course in the next year they get their comeuppance. Kareem has his supreme moment, you know, beating the Celtics, and then for the first time they ever lost to the Lakers, and first time they lost a finals series at home. They had lost. I'm sorry, they lost to the Knicks in '73. That wasn't the finals though. That was the conference finals.
Right, but that one still hurt, boy.
Oh yeah. But that was Kareem's great. He was 38.
It was great. You know, the 86 was wonderful, but they beat the Rockets.
Yeah.
It just, you know, which is fine.
It would have been, that would have completed it. I still think it's the greatest team of all time. But yeah, it would have been nice to have beat one at the Lakers' expense. You know, so that this, but the, I would have to go, the whole drama from start to finish of 84. There was so many seminal, you know, memorable moments.
I mean, the thing that's amazing with those two teams, if you just break down the rosters, the talent, unbelievable. I mean,
the Celtics, they got four, let's see, one, two, three, four. There's four Hall of Famers on the Celtics, and then a veteran all-star in Wedman. And then you've got the Lakers, you've got Kareem and Magic and Worthy.
Worthy.
That's three.
Michael Cooper.
Michael Cooper, who is on the ballot. And, right, you know, I wouldn't have a problem as great defensively as he was, and he was a clutch 3-point shooter. He's on the ballot. I wonder if I would have voted, I'm not voting this year, but if I would have voted, I don't know. But anyway, it was, and of course, Wiley was a seminal figure in NBA history. And, it was just terrific. It was good stuff. And it was a great decade for the NBA and in general terms. But so it was that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now I have to move on. Let's get into the current times, Bob, where you and I are both scratching our heads in regard to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, let me set the stage here so in case people haven't followed this, but Mark Cuban, we all know, is a very smart man. Got involved with radio streaming, became a billionaire, just knows what he's doing when it comes to making money, and quite frankly, turned the Dallas Mavericks around and they won an NBA title.
Right.
So recently, he just sold the majority stake of the Dallas Mavericks. So he sold that to the Adelson and Dumont families, which own the Las Vegas Sands Corp, for $3.5 billion. Cuban has 27% stake and will control basketball operations. Okay. Now, the way Cuban sees it, and he's right, media rights are dropping. Media rights are dropping, for especially for local television contracts. Streaming has changed everything. So he sees the future of being in connection with gambling. And we can't argue with that. I mean, you have to look around. You know, FanDuel is our sponsor. I mean, it's just the way of the world. So he feels to get going to business with a gambling family, or a casino family, I should say, very successful one, is the way to go. And it's not legal in Texas yet.
No.
But at some point it will be.
Well, he's got a dream about building a dream about building an arena, because, you know, a new one, theirs must be 25 years old. No, it's a new arena, and the whole complex, you know, a gambling complex. He's smart. It's a savvy business move. We can't relate to billionaires in terms of what that actually means in their daily lives of spending and what they can do and can't do. But he's enriching himself even more. And, for his heirs, I trust. Oh, my God, it's hard to imagine, because he's making a killing out of this. You think of whatever it is he paid. Oh, my God, that was 20 years ago. Oh, my God. Gambling, there's no turn back here. All sports have decided that this is the way to go, and every sport is involved, and so that's where we are.
I'm Christmas Eve, my neighbor's over. We're talking, you know, we got sports on and stuff. We're talking about different teams, and he's got his phone, you know, FanDuel on the phone, doing his thing, you know.
Yeah.
25
yeah.
bucks here, 25 bucks here, 35 bucks here. You know, it's the way of the world. I don't think the integrity, I don't know. I don't know. Do you think the integrity of the game will be hurt?
Well, you know, I think the one basic layman theory is that you're safer with the government, with everything being legal, than you were when it was illegal, you know,
right.
And so, but that does that mean that we're out of the woods with regard to possible bribery and to possible dumping and possible guys and especially when they're already making so much money, you know, now that you say, well, who? Now the vulnerable place has been three different times in our history or more, college, and now, but even now, that's less likely in that when the in the world of NIL and than it once was, you know. That's maybe that's going to be the strange byproduct. The positive unintended consequence of the NIL will be to reduce severely the chances that some kid's going to take a, you know, couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand bucks from some bookie to, you know, throw a game, which right. has happened as far back as 1946. We know about it here in Boston. BC knows about it, and then it caused a major scandal in 1951 and also in 1961. But it's less likely, you would think, if gambling is, you know, with the NIL and the money that the kids can make.
Basically, you're talking about a casino owns a professional
sports. Yeah, team. Right. Oh, I mean, remember the days that, guys couldn't, Willie Mays wanted to be a greeter.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Couldn't do
Alex
it.
Karras got in trouble.
Paul when I go back with when Rogers Hornsby was at the peak of his career in the 20s, the greatest right-hand hitter in history. And he was forced to sell his interest in a racetrack, just an interest, you know, because it was, you couldn't do it, you know, but it couldn't be associated with gambling. Neil DeRocher was suspended for the entire 1947 season as manager of the Dodgers because of he was, you ready for this? Consorting with gamblers. Okay, so you know, this is where we come from. We're long past that, ladies and gentlemen.
We are, because basically you have a casino company now that owns an NBA franchise.
Which brings me to Pete Rose. I know this is a basketball podcast, but I'm sure Pete Rose played a lot of high school basketball. I wouldn't be surprised. So anyway, Pete Rose, I have steadfastly said, keep him out. You know, keep him out, because he bet on – you know, his own, and he did bet on his own team, not the other team, but still there's nothing, that's not a good thing either. Now I say, I'll pick him up at the airport, drive him right to Cooperstown.
Right.
Because there's no, the baseball has forfeited the high moral ground. They forfeited. You can't justify any longer the idea that what he did is so out of step with the where they are now. So, you know, I'm put me down. I'll put Pete in it. All right. I'm off the soapbox.
Robert, as we leave, do you have any New Year's predictions or resolutions or any thoughts?
Well, I think the NBA, if it's the NBA, the Celtics are in the mix. I think we both agree they got to prove to us that they're going to keep their composure and do the thing, hold up emotionally in the playoffs because they have enough talent, you know. I'm not going to. I can't predict. I don't like it. But do that.
You don't have to predict or something you want to see or something.
Of course, I want to see the 18th banner. I'd get hoisted in opening day next year. That'd be fine. Yeah, and I think these people deserve it. I think this has been a good ownership group. I really do, and I think they deserve it. Their hearts have been in the right place. I think for the most part, and I think that they, you know, that they put a lot into it, and in the right way, and I think they deserve another championship. So anyway, that's other than that. No, I'm just one thing I always hope, I'd like to see BC get relevant again, you know, and they are better this year in basketball. By the way, they're better. They're not, I don't know. We'll see how the league goes, but I'd like to see that. That's always something that matters to me.
Well, maybe you have to pull back on those donations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Bob Ryan. That's it. Bob Ryan, Gary Tangway here, brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, Robert, we'll talk to you again soon.